Hey everybody, welcome to the Four Pillar Fitness Podcast. This is Coach Phil Houston once again behind the mic, and I am here today with another volume of Research Roundup. This is volume 5, and today's episode is involving some straight dope on weed and your teens. But first, some quick housekeeping. If you're listening to us on iTunes, would you do me a favor? If you like what you hear, drop me a 5-star rating, leave a comment, let people know there's some value here so they can get something out of this podcast as well. Thank you very much. I certainly appreciate that. Hey, let's jump on here. So there's a concerted effort being made in this country and others to move marijuana into the legal, controlled, available, and highly taxed category. Government, media, and certainly businesses large and small profiting from cannabis are all telling us it's not harmful, it's got positive effects on human brains and behavior, and is what will save us from everything from government and societal bankruptcy to large-scale mental illness. But what is the truth? Today I'm going to share 3 research studies which look at the effect marijuana use can have on teens, both in the short and the long term. Please understand, none of this is intended as criticism or indictment of medical marijuana, which has many, many legitimate and positive uses. These studies are dealing with casual and recreational use only. First, some full disclosure and transparency. Look, I've smoked marijuana in college many moons ago. It was probably at least as common on campus as it is today. The difference was we knew it was illegal, so it was kept under wraps and used with caution. While I was a casual to regular user, friends of mine were a little more heavily into weed. This was the early 1980s when there was still only a glimmer of hope that marijuana and its most notable cannabinoid, THC, held any value beyond getting you high, super mellow, and really, really in the mood for pizza. Interestingly enough, well after college and well after I stopped smoking marijuana, I had a serious bout with deep depression. While it was brought on by relentless chronic pain from an injury, after learning as much as I have about how weed affects the brain, I have to wonder whether the depression was made worse by the lasting effects of marijuana on my brain. We may never know. While I promise to write and podcast more about my experiences with depression and how I manage it now, for today, let's hit the weed, man. You'll want to stick around till the end because I've included a study that I haven't even written about on a website. It's a Four Pillar Fitness Podcast exclusive just for you guys, my listeners. So first up is a study out of Canada. Researchers at the University of Montreal connected teen weed use with cognitive impairments, problems with social interaction, and self-control. Here's the details. So about 1 in 5 Canadian adolescents are using cannabis. About 19% of Canadians aged 15 to 19 are users. And its recent legalization across the country warrants an investigation into the consequences of the use on the developing brain. So we know that adolescence is associated with the maturation of cognitive functions, things like working memory, decision-making, and impulsivity control. It's a really vulnerable period for development of the brain. And it represents a critical period wherein regulatory connection between higher order regions of the cortex and emotional processing circuits deeper inside the brain get established. It's a period of strong remodeling in the brain, so there's lots of stuff taking place, lots of rewiring, and it makes adolescents highly vulnerable to drug-related developmental disturbances. So this research was presented at the 2019 Canadian Neuroscience Meeting in Toronto, and it was featured recent discoveries on cannabis, the effects of cannabis on the human brain. So Dr. Patricia Conrad at the University of Montreal, she was studying year-to-year changes in alcohol and cannabis use and cognitive function in a sampling of adolescents consisting of 5% of all students entering high school. That was back in 2012-2013 in Greater Montreal. They were assessed annually for 4 years on alcohol and cannabis use, and their cognitive function was evaluated using computerized cognitive tests. So what they found was the substance to be used to be linked to low cognitive functioning, a finding that could be indicative of an underlying common vulnerability. Cannabis use was specifically linked to impairments in working memory and inhibitory control, which is required for self-control. It was also linked to deficits in memory recall and perceptual reasoning. So more recently, data indicates that cannabis use had a stronger effect on the memory functions of male students than female students. Both sexes, however, were equally affected by cannabis on inhibitory control. Over at another study, Dr. Stephen LaViolette, he presented research on the effect of the primary psychoactive component of cannabis, delta-9-tetrahydrocannabinoid, or THC, as we know it commonly, on the adolescent brain, particularly in rodent animal models. They demonstrated that adolescent exposure to THC induces changes in a specific region of the brain called the prefrontal cortex, pretty important area of the brain, and in a brain circuit, the mesolimbic pathway that closely resembles the abnormalities observed in schizophrenia. So THC induces changes in the teenage brain that resemble schizophrenia. Remember that, folks. Furthermore, adolescent THC exposure also caused affective and cognitive abnormalities, easy for me to say, including deficits in social interactions, memory processing, and anxiety regulation. And Dr. Iris Belotis from McMaster University, she was investigating the mechanism that motivates individuals to act and make decisions, that can go against a person's best interest as seen in people suffering from addiction. So what she did to compare decision-making in individuals suffering from cannabis addiction, also called cannabis use disorder, to healthy individuals, or compare them to healthy individuals, Dr. Belotis used an effort-based decision-making test which explores how much effort an individual is willing to make to receive a given reward. In other words, how hard are you willing to work to get what you want? Participants are given a choice between an easy task or a hard task in which they can gain varying amounts of money. For example, pressing a lever a number of times within a certain time limit, etc., etc. During the administration of the test, Dr. Belotis and her team looked at differences in activity in different brain regions by functional magnetic resonance imaging, or fMRI. Initial findings suggest that there are differences in encoding the value of the reward, the money received, and of the effort cost, or the amount of work done, in individuals addicted to cannabis relative to their healthy controls. So these were revealed by differences in activation of specific brain regions known to be important for motivation. The information can really be key to finding cannabis addiction vulnerability factors and figuring out a way to get people off the drug. Adolescent cannabis use is associated with behavioral changes related to reward and motivation in humans. Now listen, this is very important stuff here. It may sound a little boring, but it's important stuff. This is one of the key ways that cannabis and marijuana can be destroying our society from the teenage years up. So the use has both been suggested to increase motivation for other drug use. This is known as the gateway hypothesis, and a potential amotivation syndrome in which individuals are less willing to expend effort to receive a reward. In other words, you don't want to work for shit, okay? You don't want to work at all. For anything, for any reason. So in order to better understand the long-term effects of adolescent cannabis exposure on the brain, Dr. Gibran Kokar from the University of Guelph studied the effect of THC exposure in adolescent rats on their adult behavior. In this study, adolescent THC exposure differentially impacted instrumental, decreased lever pressing, and Pavlovian learning, increased sign tracking. So in other words, these animals weren't as good at figuring out to press a lever to get a reward, and less good at figuring out how to get through a maze to get a piece of cheese. These rats also showed differences in other reward-related behaviors. The behavioral changes were accompanied by changes in connection between different regions of the brain, including those involved in encoding reward and motivation. The results suggest adolescent cannabis exposure in rats can produce long-lasting changes in brain circuitry, which might contribute to behavioral changes observed after cannabis exposure. In other words, weed just doesn't mellow you out in the short term. It can demotivate you via changes to the brain for the long term. Taken together, the research results presented in this symposium help decipher the links between cannabis use and long-lasting changes in the brain, which underlie changes in behavior in adolescent humans. Research in humans shows that adolescent cannabis use is widespread and associated with defects in working memory, self-control, and motivation. Similar results were observed in animal studies. So when it comes to the teenage brain, marijuana isn't the harmless tax revenue source many would like it to be. Next up is a study connecting the use of marijuana in teens to anxiety and depression later in life. But first, a very brief time out for a word from our sponsors. Welcome back to a very special edition of Four Pillar Fitness Podcast. We're talking weed. Let's get right back to it. So while there's been a lot of focus on the role of cannabis use in psychosis, there's been less attention on whether cannabis use is associated with an increased risk of common mental health disorders such as depression and anxiety. So researchers from McGill University and University of Oxford carried out a systematic review and meta-analysis of the best existing evidence and analyzed over 23,000 individuals from 11 studies to see whether the use of cannabis in young people is associated with depression, anxiety, and suicidality in early adulthood. They found that cannabis use among adolescents is associated with a significant increased risk of depression and suicidality in adulthood, but not necessarily anxiety. So the population attributable risk was found to be around 7%, which translates to more than 400,000 adolescent cases of depression potentially attributable to cannabis exposure in the U.S. alone, 25,000 in Canada and 60,000 in the U.K. Dr. Gabriella Gobi, professor of the Department of Psychiatry at McGill University and a scientist at the Research Institute at McGill University Health Center, states, quote, "While the link between cannabis and mood regulation has been largely studied in preclinical studies, there was still a gap in clinical studies regarding the systematic evaluation of the link between adolescent cannabis consumption and the risk of depression and suicidal behavior in young adulthood. This study aimed to fill this gap, helping mental health professionals and parents to better address the problem." At the University of Oxford, Professor Andrea Cipriani said, quote, "We looked at the effects of cannabis use because its use among young people is so common, but the long-term effects are still poorly understood. We carefully selected the best studies carried out in the last two decades and included only the methodologically sound ones to rule out important confounding factors such as premorbid depression. Here's what they said. Their findings about depression and suicidality are very relevant for clinical practice and public health. There are negative effects of cannabis and they can vary between individuals, but the fact of the matter is the widespread use of cannabis among younger generations makes it important as a health issue. So what they found was regular use during adolescence is associated with lower achievement at school, addiction, psychosis, neuropsychological decline, increased risk of motor vehicle crashes, as well as the respiratory problems associated with smoking. In other words, it is addictive, it does carry problems, and it can give you cancer. That's the reality. The active ingredient in cannabis, THC, mediates most of the psychoactive and mood-related effects of cannabis and also has addictive properties. Preclinical studies in laboratory animals reported an association between exposure during puberty to cannabinoids and adult onset depressive symptoms. It's thought that cannabis may alter the physiological neural development, frontal cortex and limbic system, and adolescent brains. While the review of observational studies was the first to look at the effects of cannabis use in adolescents only, it was not possible to predict the risk at the individual level, nor was it possible to discern information about the dose-dependent risk of cannabis use. Last up is the exclusive I promised you. This one is a study from the University of Illinois at Chicago indicating that key areas of the adolescent brain are damaged by marijuana use. Here goes. So adolescent marijuana use may alter how neurons function in brain areas engaged in decision-making, planning, and self-control, according to researchers at UIC. The findings, which were presented at Neuroscience 2018, the annual meeting for the Society of Neuroscience, are the result of an animal model study focused on the structural development of the prefrontal cortex, or the PFC, which controls high-level cognitive function. You kind of need that if you want to think and operate in the world every day. Within the PFC, there's a support structure called the perineuronal net, and it forms a lattice of proteins around inhibitory cells, helping to secure their connections with excitatory neurons that regulate PFC activity. Perineuronal net formation is sensitive to drug use, but the effects of marijuana aren't known. So this study then investigated how adolescent marijuana use affects the perineuronal nets in the prefrontal cortex, and the UIC researchers gave adolescent rats a synthetic cannabinoid, wow, easy for me to say, huh? Sorry, guys, which was similar to THC, the main psychoactive compound in marijuana. They did this for one day, for 10 days, or 10 days followed by a period of abstinence. They then compared perineuronal net structure in these rats to those in drug-free animals. So what they found was the animals exposed to the cannabinoid showed a reduction in net development around inhibitory cells during adolescence, and this reduction was more common in male animals. Man, we're getting the short end of the stick on all this stuff, huh? So according to Eliza Jacobs Bridgeford, who is the study's lead author, quote, our evidence suggests that exposure to cannabinoids during adolescence alters brain maturation in the prefrontal cortex. These results may offer a mechanistic explanation for functional and behavioral changes caused by adolescent cannabinoid exposure. In other words, teenage marijuana use. Recreational use of marijuana is among the risky choices often made by adolescents and likely to become more prevalent with greater availability due to its shifting legal status in some states and in Canada. These impulsive choices are taking place during a key period of brain development and could have costs later in life, according to the researchers. Adolescence is a crucial time for fine-tuning the balance of excitatory and inhibitory neurons in the brain, which combine to control precise patterns of brain activity, according to Jamie Reutemann, a USC Associate Professor of Psychology. Substance use as a teenager thus has the potential to disrupt the normal developmental trajectory of the PFC with potentially long-term consequences for decision-making. So the truth of the matter is, guys and girls, teenage marijuana use is not free of effect. It's not free of, it's a cause that has an effect, okay? We've got problems in brain development. We've got problems in depression, suicidality, and anxiety. These are things we just don't want our teens having, okay? And this is just three pieces of research. There's thousands of pieces of research out there that say exactly this or worse in some cases. So while our esteemed government, all the talking heads in the media, and the cannabis big shot wannabes are telling everyone to smoke up, the research is telling us a very, very different story. Choose the one you listen to very carefully, because we still do not know all the potential effects of cannabis and THC on humans. And with THC potency rising in commercial cannabis, this is not the weed of Woodstock, to be sure. I want to thank everybody listening to the Four Pillar Fitness podcast today. I appreciate every one of you. And please leave me a rating on five-star rating if you like this on iTunes, and leave me a comment. You can reach out to me through the podcast. You can send me a voice message on Anchor FM. You can certainly reach out to me on Twitter at Phil Houston, spell the last name right, H-U-E-S-T-O-N. You can get me on Instagram at Coach Phil Houston, again, spell the last name right, H-U-E-S-T-O-N. Jump over to the website, coachphilhouston.com. Get on the email list. We're going to be kicking off in about a week or so with some really cool stuff. It's going to be fun. And as always, thanks for listening and keep the faith and keep after it.